and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications. The following program's views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220 The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and maybe even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Love to hear from you. Also, we have a special guest in the studio here today, Evangelist Wayne Nelson, and I'll be letting him talk here more in just a few minutes and telling you a little bit more about what he's doing, but let's go ahead and open our program in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air here today, and Father, I would just pray that we'd be a blessing, that we'd be a help, that we'd be an encouragement to somebody listening today, and Lord, we do pray that we could point somebody to Christ, that they could get saved, and they know that they have a home in heaven for all eternity. Father, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be here today, and boy, it's been a nice couple of days here. The sun's shining a little bit, trees changing color. One of my favorite times of the year here in northeastern Ohio, but I have what in northeastern Ohio we would call a snowbird in the studio with me, so to speak, Evangelist Wayne Nelson, and I call him a snowbird because he has meetings up north with churches. And then when the weather starts getting cold, he heads down to Florida. And Wayne Nelson, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Well, Pastor, it's a real joy to be with you. And we've really enjoyed this week. And, of course, many times we're up here when it's cold. So I don't know if they call me a real snowbird or not. I don't know. But our home location is in Lakeland, Florida. And it's just been a joy to be with you, Brother Al.
Oh, we've had a good time, and Wayne Nelson has been with us. He was with us on Sunday, and then again Wednesday night, and he will be with us again this Friday night, and he'll be talking a little bit more about what he's going to be bringing for us this Friday night. And, of course, we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. That's right next to where Interstate 80 and Interstate 77 cross. And you're more than welcome to join us there tonight at 7 o'clock. And Wayne Nelson, tell us a little bit about your ministry, how you got into it. And I know we only just got a few minutes, but we can get a quick synopsis here.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. I got saved in Hawaii on a vacation. I was 25 years old. Before I got saved, I tried to work my way to heaven, found out that everything I did was not going to please God. And Brian Warner, good friend of mine, while I was over in Hawaii, he was stationed at Grissom Air Force Base and then transferred to Hickam Air Force Base in Oahu, and he kept inviting us over. And when I got there and situated, he took the Bible and showed me how to be saved. And I trusted Christ July the 25th, 1975, and changed my whole life. And after that, wasn't long after that, about 4 months later, I was called to preach and then went off to Bible college. It was just been a joy and just great to see what God was doing, and was in the chaplaincy for about 2.5 years and then 10.5 years of planting 2 churches in Central Florida. Then the last 21, 22 years, been on the road just sharing the Word of God and letting people know. We do a lot of things with ventriloquism and sermons in chemistry and visual things with PowerPoint and have about over 121 object lessons. Just be using one of those tonight, Pastor. Use one of those tonight. And plus, we're going to be doing some special things on prophecy tonight that I believe people really, really will enjoy, because so many people don't realize there's evidences everywhere of the soon return of Christ.
And that's absolutely right.
And we're going to be taking time to show about 9 evidences of. And I don't know when Christ is coming back. Nobody does exactly except the Father. But there is so many evidences. And so, Al, thanks for letting me be with you. And again, we are just looking forward to it. Our contact number is 863-529-5433. That's 863-529-5433. We have a website called evangelistnelson.org. So if we can ever be a help to any of you folks, it's evangelistnelson.org. I'm going to turn back to Al. Just good to be with you folks, and it's just great to be on your radio program.
Well, glad to have you with us. And, of course, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and a special guest, Evangelist Wayne Nelson, with us today in the studio here. And our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question for either of us, we'd love to hear from you. Question about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word. And as Wayne Nelson mentioned, he is going to be talking about evidences of the return of Christ tonight at 7 o'clock at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express there in Richfield, Ohio. And, you know, we just have to turn the radio on, turn the television on, or go online, look on the news, and I think you see these evidences of the soon return of Christ. Somebody once said, just look at Israel, that's God's timepiece. And, you know, just thinking about that, some of the evidences, I don't know if this is one of the ones you're going to talk about, but I think the very fact that Israel is there after nearly 2,000 years being evicted from that part of the world, and now there's a Jewish state there, and I had somebody, maybe you've heard this complaint before, well, that can't be the Israel of the Bible because they're not spiritual. It's a secular state. And I'll throw this one at you here. I didn't talk to you about this before, but I always look at the prophecy Ezekiel had of the Valley of the Dry Bones, and the bones came together. They didn't have any spirit in them at first, did they? And I think God's going to move upon that country, those people, one day here in the not-too-distant future. And I think that's a good evidence of the Lord's going to be returning soon. And as Christians, we need to be focused. One of the complaints, and I want to use this kind of segue into what you were talking about this past Sunday and in terms of singleness of heart and in our ministry. One of the complaints sometimes that's made is that, oh, you only support Israel because you want to see the Jewish people go there so the Lord can come back. No, that's not it. Bible says you support Israel because God said at least four times in the Old Testament that he'll bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And God has a plan for the Jewish people yet in the future. And like you said, I don't know when the Lord's coming back either. But in the meanwhile, God has a place for them, and one day they will embrace Jesus as their Messiah, and God will use them tremendously during the time of the tribulation. But we want to reach them before that, and hopefully they can find their Messiah beforehand. And you know, a lot of people don't realize that we might have been Gentiles, but in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. And we're in Christ. We're the bride of Christ, and God's got a plan for us. And yeah, if you got anything to add to that, we got a caller coming in too here in just a moment. So,
well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. You really have, Pastor, because one of the evidences that's so obvious is the fact that, matter of fact, it's the first one I want to talk about this evening. Is I use PowerPoint and use a lot of pictures and so forth and things that will be such a help is the fact that Israel became a nation in May the 14th, 1948. And what we're going to do is briefly tonight, we can't cover it all tonight or even now, but we're going to give a brief history of the nation Israel and how it started. And then we're going to talk about how it lost its recognition as a nation in 586 BC and after the destruction of Samaria and so forth, and 722 BC by the Syrians, and destruction of Jerusalem in 586 by King Nebuchadnezzar, and the remnant and so forth was totally annihilated by 70 AD by Titus of Rome, and the Jews lost their homeland and were scattered all over the world, and then they started coming back. It's just kind of unique. So we're going to talk about the brief history of the nation, and then, of course, prophecies given against Jerusalem, and then how Israel became a nation on May the 14th, 1948, at the beginning of the 20th century, the Zionists wanted to establish a homeland for the Jews, and they got permission for the Turks to buy some land and make a few Jewish settlements in their ancient homeland. And by the outbreak of the World War II, several thousand Jews had established themselves in Palestine. And a peace treaty, the British received a mandate over the territory, and the British government favored the establishment of a national home for the Jewish people. In the next 20 years, thousands of Jewish people settled in Palestine, and then finally the British announced that they would turn Palestine over, the problem over to UN, and they would get out of there on May the 15th, 1948. And the day before that, the day before the British finally withdrew from the Palestine, the Jewish proclaimed the State of Israel as a new and independent nation. So there's some things here. I'm not going to overdo it. There's just so much material on this, but that's one of the evidence. Another evidence we're going to talk about is how we see the rampant evil everywhere. Another one's the famines and the violence and the wars and also the one world currency. Just a lot of things that I believe will be so relevant to the average person out there. And like Brother Al mentioned, is what we're trying to do is let people know that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That's
and he,
right.
He died, buried, and rose again. The answer is to trust Christ no matter where or what your background is.
Absolutely. And of course, we're caught up in this political season. And a lot of times, a danger for Christians is to think that salvation is going to come through the ballot box. It won't.
No.
We can hope and pray that we get somebody elected that'll be a little more favorable to the biblical worldview, certainly a little more favorable to freedom of religion and free speech than the current administration. And we can hope and pray for that. But hey, if the current guy gets another term in there, God's still on the throne.
Yes.
And he's still in the soul-saving business. And it's easier to shine. The weakest light shines in a dark place. We are going to take a call here. We have Nancy in Euclid, and Nancy, welcome. You're on Live with Pastor Al and our guest evangelist Wayne Nelson.
Yes, Pastor Al, thank you so much for taking my call. It was it's a real joy to hear Pastor Wayne Nelson. You know, I wish I could clone myself and come to that program tonight. I believe it's at your church, but I do go to Reformist Unanimous at Cleveland Baptist, but it sounds like a fabulous program. If anybody out there doesn't have anything, you know, really worthwhile going to, it sounds great. But my question today was about 1 Corinthians 3:12.
Right, 1 Corinthians 3:12.
Well, let me finish, and then 1 Corinthians 3:15, a man's work be done for God, let them be burned. That he'll suffer loss. I mean, if his works for God are not, say, if they're wood, hay, and stubble, it says that, I believe I'm understanding this correctly, it says he'll be saved, he won't go to hell, but will your works that are done for the Lord with not the correct motive, you're doing something for the Lord but not for the correct motive, perhaps maybe to glorify yourself but not even thinking that, does that mean that will take away from when you get judged, does that mean that your works that are done with the right motive, if you had more works that are done with the improper motive, would that sort of neutralize your works done for the Lord? Say if there's more of them done.
Right,
improper,
right.
You know, this is, if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay. Let me just touch on that real quick a little bit there, Nancy. And obviously, part of the key with that is there's a foundation that's already laid, and that's Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that talks about our salvation, because nobody can really serve God effectively without being saved. A lot of people try to. A lot of people think they may be saved. It's one of the things that Evangelist Wayne Nelson has brought out a couple times already this past week is people who may think they're saved. Maybe they go to church. Maybe they grew up in church. Maybe they think they're a good person, or they give a certain amount of money or something. But unless you actually have the foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, as Paul later calls him, to the Corinthians, and we build our life on that solid foundation, And you can see he builds with two classes, and I'll kind of shorten down what I would normally take probably a half hour more to talk about.
Right.
But he builds with two classes of material. There's gold, silver, and precious stones, which do not burn, and there's wood, hay, and stubble, which does burn. And the testing is the fire, and you know the Lord is going to test our works. We'll stand before him as believers, not to be judged as to whether or not we go to heaven. That was taken care of at the cross when we trusted Christ as our Savior. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, real quick, Ephesians chapter 2, starting verse 8, he said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So clearly these works built on the foundation of Christ has nothing to do with getting saved or staying saved. Right. But Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we need to build on that foundation with our good works. And some of those works are going to be burnt away in the testing, in the sense that they were done for false pretenses. They were done for self-glory, vainglory, and that's the reward. But the things that were done for Christ, if I did this radio program just so people would pat me on the back and say, "Oh, what a great show, we really love you," that's my reward. But if I do this radio program in order to reach people with the gospel and help people understand the Bible, to point people to Christ, and I do it for the Lord's glory, then there's a reward for that. And Brother Nelson here, likewise, his ministry, if he's doing it just to make a big name for himself, there's no glory in that for God. And that's what burns up. But he himself, or I myself, or you yourself, you're still saved. The foundation isn't touched. It's just the works that we built. And Brother Nelson, would you like to add to that?
Well, I think, Al, you really did a good job there, but in addition to that, it just ties in so well with what is the answer for life, and that is to have that singleness of heart. As a matter of fact, we've had four messages on that as we've been having special meetings with Brother Al and his church. And again, under that, what I did, based on the Word of God, I just took it as our final authority. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, it talked about the fact that the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And then the verse 33, last part of verse 33 in the same chapter, Matthew 6 said, all these things shall be. I was emphasizing the shall be aspect, those two words, because if we as Christians would ask God, we can't do it ourselves, but we can ask God to give us that singleness of heart, then I believe we're sending treasures ahead. And I went through and developed this and shared in verse 19, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. I'll just recap it very quickly for you. But we found out there was four explanations here, and I'll just give it to you briefly, as I mentioned. First, he emphasized in verse 19 that earthly treasure is not the solution for life. And so that hay and stubble, when people spend time in the wrong spot, invest everything in this world, it's left behind. So verse 19 tells us that earthly treasures are not a solution for life. And then we found out in verses 20 and 21 that heavenly investments are treasures in Christ, just doing it because we love the Lord. Like Pastor said, heavenly treasures, heavenly investments are the solution for life. That was verses 20 and 21. And, of course, many points under that. And then thirdly, we found out in verses 22 through 24, heavenly investments are always fulfilling. Anybody that does the will of God is encouraged and uplifted, and their motive has to be right. Don't make sure the motive is not wrong. And then lastly, we found out that in the balance of the chapter, it emphasizes the reinforcement, verses 25 through 34, how heavenly investments are reinforced. And we went through four reinforcements and exhortation. Again, it's just a wonderful to be able to send treasures ahead that will never, never be wasted. And again, I just hope that'll add a little bit to what is on your heart, and of course, with Brother Al as well. And again, I'm just thankful for this question, because it's so important for people to understand that if they would just place the Lord first and do it because they love him and want to exalt him, want to glorify him, and not for personal attention, but give all praise and honor to him, I believe he'll keep track of every prayer. I believe he'll keep track of every track right down the line. So That's just a little comment to help. Mm-hmm. I hope to add to it. There's a lot there, obvious, in this whole subject you're talking about. But, boy, it's just wonderful to be able to send treasures ahead where no thief can steal them. Then they would be lost, and we just lay those treasures at our Lord's feet.
That's absolutely right. And Nancy, I hope that helps you out there.
Yes, it does. Just a real quick question. I think mm-hmm. this is sort of related. 1 Corinthians 11, 27, and who's and talking about communion, that it's a memorial service. It's not
right.
like a certain religion. It turns into the body and blood of Jesus. But whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But if a man examine himself, and it's sort of what I was talking about in which you were discussing, doing something for Christ with the right motive, but if a man examine himself, then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And then it says, if he eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinking damnation to himself. Now, if you could explain that, what would constitute eating and drinking unworthily? That's doing something maybe for the wrong motive for Christ? Is that possible, or I'm just not
well,
sure?
Yeah, when we observe the Lord's Supper, and Paul points this out in Corinthians, because the Corinthian church had abused the Lord's Supper, and that's why it's written out in the Bible for us, because churches will fall into error on the Lord's Supper. The mm-hmm. Lord's Supper was never meant to be a feast in terms of, you know, to mm-hmm. like a church picnic or church, you know, dinner on the grounds type thing. That's not the Lord's
right.
Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord's Supper was never meant to save anybody or keep anybody safe.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Lord's Supper is for the purpose of commemorating what Jesus Christ did for us. Remember the Last Supper, he lifted up the bread and he said that his body was going to be broken. And so mm-hmm. we have the unleavened bread, of course, which symbolizes the sinless body of Christ that was broken for us. And then we have the fruit of the vine, which symbolizes his blood that was spilt for us. And Jesus himself said it was symbolic when he instituted it. And Paul corrects some erroneous views that came in here as well by showing that it's symbolic. And because it's symbolic, what we're saying when we partake of the Lord's Supper is, I'm identifying with what Christ did for me. This is a public testimony, much like mm-hmm. baptism is a public testimony of what mm-hmm. Christ did for me. When I eat this bread, I'm showing that I've partook of the Lord who gave his body to be broken for my sins. When I drink the grape juice, I'm saying that the blood of Christ has washed away my sins, and I'm picturing that, and not doing it, but picturing it. And so if I've never been saved, for instance, what am I really picturing? I'm not, because it's nothing that I'm a part of. And then if I am a Christian, and this is what I believe he's writing to here, where he says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup,
right.
and then talks about eating or drinking damnation to him self. If I am a Christian, and I am rebellious towards the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with me about sin in my life, and I'm shaking my fist at the Lord and saying, I will not get that right with you, and I'm being stubborn and willful, and then I partake of the Lord's Supper, really I'm making a mockery of it, because I'm symbolizing that Jesus gave his body and shed his blood to pay for my sin. And I'm saying, but I don't want it applied to this, even though it has been. That's a mockery. And so God is going to judge us for that. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the chastening of the Lord, and he talks about chastening that is there to correct us. And he makes the statement in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection of the Father's spirits and live? I hear our music starting up there. We got about a minute left. And I believe that God can cut short a Christian's lifespan. And it's appointed unto a man once to die, after the Bible says. But we know God can increase our lifespan if we're faithful and obedient. And Hezekiah got 15 extra years that way. And the first commandment with promise is to honor and obey your parents. And but by the same token, we can shorten that lifespan down. Appreciate your call there, Nancy. Got about 30 seconds left, and don't give you much time to enter in on that. But Brother Nelson, give us contact information real quick, about 5-10 seconds for that.
Well, thank you very much. Again, our website is evangelistnelson.org.
All right. Well, we thank you for that. We're out of time, and God bless. Join us tonight at the Bible Baptist Church. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. You can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at bbc.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220, The Word.
Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220, The Word, or Salem Communications.